Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on January 18th, 2015, and is entitled, My Life Team, The Church.
Let's take a look at our Bibles, shall we do that? And take a look at our bulletins. This is the most spectacular weekend I have ever experienced. I like pushing the envelope. And we're doing it this weekend. This weekend is all about just church life, church activity. It started with our fasting and prayer on Friday. We talked facts of fasting last Sunday. You can access that message online. But can I just kind of, because many of you said we've never fasted before, thank you for having us do that. This is what it looked like. This is how it felt. But if you prayed for those 5 points, our four square movements, contending God for, or you fasted and prayed, that's a big one. Would you just kind of raise your hand up and say, I did that. I just put, not, looky there, that gets me so excited. Yeah. And what we prayed for was in the bulletin last Sunday. It's fantastic. Thank you, everyone. Today's membership Sunday, and our theme is multiplying life teams. In 2015, life teams being just mentoring and what that looks like to engage a person and then to help them to grow, especially in spiritual life. That 2 Timothy 2:2 is our theme verse. That Paul told a little pastor, these things that you've witnessed in me and heard from me, you teach them to faithful men who will in turn teach them to others. And so we've been using the phrase there. If you look close at that little logo, it really goes this way. It's just a business model that should be always working someone's self out of a job. It goes like this. I do and you watch. Now I will do and you help. Now you do and I will help. Now you do again and I'll just watch. Now you go and do it and someone else watches. Multiplying that way. Somebody needs to either mentor us, or you're altogether perfect and you need to start mentoring someone else. Well, today is about church and church membership, and you'll see on the back of your bulletin, it is my life team. Life team, the church. And we want to talk about that, the church and membership Sunday, and it's very easy to be a member. You basically just have to be born again. And it would be health for you to say, I like what Hope Chapel's doing. I need to apply myself somewhere. But since we recognize so true that to enter into the church is really by reason of accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, in Acts, the early church, the scripture says, and God added to the church daily those who were being saved. I'm going to invite you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 16. Let's find the gospel of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus talks about the startup of the church. He even names it. He's the one that built it, planted it. He's going to protect it. He claims it. That's important for us to recognize. Important for us to recognize. So Lord, as we open your word, we want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you for speaking to us, helping us, and directing us where we can see, I understand it's more than a building or an organization. Lord, it is a living organism, your church, in Jesus' name, amen. This is a point in history where Jesus takes his disciples and they're at Caesarea Philippi, and it's that famous question, who do men say that I am? Let's take a look at verse 13, Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And that's an important reference. Who do you personally say that Jesus is? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. people come into the church this way. That's what Jesus says. This is how I'm going to build my church. Pete, you are blessed. You understand I am the Messiah. Flesh and blood didn't convince you, and no one told you, my Father in heaven. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're blessed, because even though we can talk about that and display it with pageantry, unless you come to that point and say, Jesus is my personal Savior, then you can say that came by revelation of God. And it doesn't happen any other way. That's why we pray for people to get to a real point where they accept or reject. At least they could say, I know what I'm rejecting, but it's important. And here, Peter says, you are. This is what I believe you are, who you are. And that's what Jesus says. This is how I'm going to build my church. Now, what's interesting to take a look at, because when we talk about the church, sometimes people think about that church as a building. We equate it to a group of people. A church is some form of denomination. It could be all those things. But it really is, Jesus is talking about people like you and me who have faith in him as Lord and Savior. It's always interesting. Even this week, came across a person, says, well, you know what? I just really don't believe in organized religion. I said, well, you will love Hope Chapel. I've been here 13 years, and I'm still trying to organize it. Come. You will like this place. And it's interesting because you talk to them, say, well, let me get this right. You want your children's soccer program to be organized, right? Yes, I do. You want your work to be organized? Yes, I do. You want our government to be organized? Yes. You just don't like religion to be organized? Well, maybe it's just religion, and it's really what it's all about. I've had someone else come along, and they say, well, you know what? Where do you go have fellowship? Where are you planted? Well, I've been over here for about a time, and I was over here. I kind of like three places. Well, why don't you find one and start to contribute your life? You've got much to give and also much to receive. Well, they're just not perfect. I'm looking for really that ideal church. Oh, I get it. You're looking for the perfect church. Yeah, maybe. I said, well, if you find it, don't join it. So why not? I said, you'll ruin it if you do. Don't do that. Do not. So it's important for us when we take a look at this, look at verse 18. Jesus says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, that rock being the confession of Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Look at, first of all, there's four things that I think are worth noting, because when we talk church, I want to be where Jesus is. First of all, Jesus names it my church. He names it. This is what I'm all about, church. That's important. Who named it? Jesus did. Take a look at second thing. He's going to build it. Can you see that? I will build. Jesus is going to do that. He already said he's going to do it. It takes pressure off of spiritual leadership. I'm going to build. That means he's going to build you. He's going to build me. He's going to build us. I will build what I've just named as my church. Then he goes ahead and he says, he claims it. It's mine. Capital M-Y. Can you see it? It's my church. Now, I like that. I want to be wherever Jesus says, this is mine. This is where I'm at. And then the fourth thing, he's going to protect it. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will protect you. And I believe that. I've never wanted to work countercultural to the church. I have a feeling part of that can be a real slow demise to any governmental structure when they come against the church of Jesus, the church of Jesus. So he named it. If you want to be in the right place in your life, I would say, man, church is where it's at, because it's all about what Jesus Christ has done. He's the one that started it. He's the one that planted it. That's where he's at, and it's healthy. And you say, well, do I really need to be in church? Yes, you do. I do. We all do. And as we take a look at 4 points, why I would say we need to be in church, you can see why we all need the church. Number one, because we need God's people. Need God's people. Take a look. We all need to belong to some group. It's in us as humans. We gravitate toward community. You take a look at that and understand. Usually it's somebody that's in, of the same culture, same fad. It's areas that reflect your hobby, your likes. We look for people that have the same cultural background, maybe ethnicity, but we are looking for that. It's the way God's designed that. It could be everywhere, say, hey, we're all about boycotting or Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, but there's community somewhere. And I'm saying one of the things why we need the church is we need God's people. It's important. God created us to have need of relationship, friends. You need that. I need that. That's the way the Lord created us. Psalm 68:6, I've got it listed there on your notes. Says God sets the solitary in families. God's cure for isolation is that he puts people with his people. He puts people with his people. He puts people in faith families. That's God's way for that. God's play. Listen, if you're weeping over problems in your life, if I have challenges and I'm feeling distraught, I don't feel so comfortable going down to City Hall and boo-hooing on the counter. It's not going to be so well received. If I got a complaint with my life, it's a rock. I don't go to the local laundromat and say, that's terrible. They'll call for security. Isn't that true? I mean, that stuff happens here in the church. We need God's people. God's people, it's by design. 1 Corinthians 12:26, it's on your notes, says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer. If one member rejoices, all the members rejoice. Where does that happen? It's in the faith family. Why do we need the church? We need God's people. We need community. That's the way God worked that and developed that. If you think that, man, if people see you just excelling in your schoolwork and you're acing everything and you're getting great honors or you get the big promotion at work with the big pay raise, you think everybody's going to be really, really excited for you? No. They really aren't. They may smile. It could be your friend. They say, hey, good for you. But that stuff happens at church. Now, if you get that promotion, man, your faith family says, right on. See, in this digital age, isn't it interesting? Technology is just going off the grid with new inventions, and it's never before caused our society to be so distant from everybody. People do not want another text message or another email and say, oh, that just felt so warm and fuzzy. But they don't come along and say, well, yeah, I really feel connected to all my friends on Facebook. People need face-to-face. They need the human touch, the way God designed that. It's really true, friends. God created you to have relationship. Leadership Magazine says 90% of the church members will stay in a church if three things happen. One, they learn to explain their faith. They just know how to tell somebody, I've accepted Christ, and they just know how to explain that. Second thing is, that they belong to subgroups within that church, be like a mini church or maybe a choir, or that they just feel like, hey, I'm a part of the collective teaching group of Sunday school. They just have a subgroup. They will stay in church. The third thing is that they have 4 to 8 friends that they say are my friends in church. You need to get into that area. That's important to God to have God's people associate with one another. So, when we get together, when we bring our baggage to the table, we all have baggage. I can't imagine my family going anywhere else except right there in the church. I love the church. I'm a churchman. I've raised my family in church. I'm enjoying my grandchildren being raised in church. My dad made sure we were at Mass every Sunday. I don't remember a thing that was preached, but I remember I had to be there or I was going to be Krispy Kremes. But now I'm grateful. It brought in a tradition. I'm grateful. And now my own children are developing that tradition. They're in church. Matter of fact, doing even more than that. So So it's amazing. Number two, we need the church because we need God's principles. Let's find 1 Timothy chapter 3. Find 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you go to near the book of Revelation, you'll see 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself." And here it is, the phrase. Look at that line there. "In the house of God, which is the what?" Can you see that there? "Which is the church." The house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. I emphasize that, especially the line "ground of truth." We need God's principles. You and I need daily doses of God's truth, at least twice a week. We need daily doses of God's truth coming into us. The pillar and the ground of truth, Bible verse says, is the church of the living God. Man, it's what keeps society together. It's what really blessed America. It was founded on biblical principles, and we're not even that old. We haven't even passed the 500-year-old mark yet. And look at how prosperous we are. How do we do it? We're so smart? No. We're based on principles that if God's word says you do this, you'll prosper. Now, it's being threatened. Those things are being threatened. Because in our liberty to bring in other things, we brought in other things and eliminated what is the bedrock and the ground of truth, which is the church. So I am concerned for our government. If they eliminate the church of Jesus, our government could have some problems. But as we look here, we're taking a look at we need God's principles. We need to have doses of God's truth. And though there are some areas that, man, could be ambiguous, one thing is true, man, God's word and the place of worship is really found in the truth, in the church. So the culture of our world has a lot of voices and a lot of opinions, and I want my children to hear God's word, be able to hear and understand that clarion call that says, man, this is what the Lord says. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it's on your notes. Said that the early church basically gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine, which means the teaching of the church, or they continued steadfastly. Man, they were all about, let's get into the Word of God. Boy, that's important. Just those two reasons why we need the church, people and principle, God's people, God's principles. Everything has cells. Every living organism has cells, and a cell needs other cells to nestle in with it. And then that cell needs nourishment, or that cell will cease to exist. That's the same with people. We need to nestle in with people, and we need nourishment. God's principles need to keep coming our way, or we will perish. We need God's people. We need God's principles. We need the body of Christ. Number three, because we need God's purpose. That's another reason why we need the church. Without fail, every human being I have ever met, really, they long to know why they even were made. What is their purpose in life? Not only just where did we come from and where are we going, but what do we do when we're here? We need God's purpose, and that's important, and God's word gives us that direction. There's a great, we all want to say, I want to give my life to a greater cause than what I think everyone else is striving for. Give me a great cause. Well, friends, this is a great cause, and this is it right here, the cause of forgiveness of sins. That is a great cause. And the cause of presenting salvation, the security and the sense of going to heaven, profound, significant, it's wonderful. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 5, it's on your notes there. Paul says, "I always thank God for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Now, we're in a family business. Friends, that's true. When we lay out our annual business meeting, we're not trying to bore you. There's some physical, practical elements that are there. But it's spiritually translated. That shows something, that people are moved to give and believe in the cause of getting the gospel to regions and to neighbors and to your friends. That's a great cause. I don't know of any other greater. I've given my life to that. I've left family business to say, I believe in that. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. And that's through Jesus, salvation. And I want to thank you, and I just want to display what you and I together are doing for the glory of the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, that reference there is when Jesus tells his mother at age 12, "Don't you know," he says, "I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my what? Father's business." Isn't that amazing? Man, Father's business is getting people to be aware that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that God loves them. What a great thing. So we're not really wanting to go out there and become somehow the moral majority. We don't want to go out there and picket some social cause. I mean, that's not it. I mean, that may be something for some people, but man, one lifetime to preach the gospel, to get people to know salvation in Jesus. Oh, that's it. That's it. Start from the ground level, my family. Let's work it on out there. So whole society is going to change if you or I just say, let's just share that there's forgiveness of sins through Jesus to one person. And then maybe when your time on earth is done, you've shared that with 100 people, that'll change civilizations. It'll change cities. It'll change a nation. One person at a time. Now that's a purpose. That really is a purpose. We need to be a part of that purpose. And number four, because we need God's presence. Love that. God's presence. If you'll look at Matthew 18, we started at Matthew. Let's go back. We're going to conclude with Matthew 18. In Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 20. It's listed there on your notes. We all need the church because, number four, we need God's presence. And oh, thank you, friends, if to be here this morning and to sense the presence of the Lord and allow the Lord to speak and to move. And boy, that we need that. And it's interesting to note in verse 20 of Matthew 18, Jesus said this, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name," can you emphasize my name? Not in any other name. "In my name, I am there in the midst of them." Boy, I have to say that, man, I just say, well, I can get God's presence all by myself when I'm alone. Usually I'll have people say it, and they'll say it stern. They'll say it hard. "I don't want to join a church. I don't need to be in church. I got God's presence wherever I go." Listen, that's something different. There's something of God's presence where people gather in his name. You get together with two people, do you say, "Hey, we're just going to have fun in Jesus' name. Let's pray before we even go." Something of God's presence comes that just makes all the difference in any situation. He's not saying in a building where there's just two or three gathered in my name. And that's what we endeavor to do here at Hope Chapel. In any of our gatherings, Jesus, we call on you. You are welcomed in this place. And when his presence comes, oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely outstanding. In our small groups, in our mini churches, we long for people to get into OSL, Operation Solid Lives. Our desire is that you learn to hear God's voice. But when you get with small groups and your coaches, you're not saying, "Hey, I really liked it when that speaker said this. I really liked it in that in-class teaching. I heard that line. That made a big impact." No, no. The praise is, "I felt God spoke to me when this person said this." I'm hoping that what I'm saying as a mere man, you could say, "God spoke to me when Pastor Paul said this." Because if it's just a person that speaks to you, then you'll wash that out. So will I in 12 hours. It'll be gone. But if God speaks to you and you're learning and hearing, say, "I think God's talking to me," then that's not going to be eliminated. Matter of fact, probably will be something that will be enhanced and promoted, not just for your life, but you'll pass it on to somebody else. So we need God's presence. A.W. Tozier wrote this about just people not really being attracted to where God is being honored. He says, it's scarcely possible in most places to get anyone to attend a meeting where the only attraction is God. He said, one can only conclude that God's professed children are bored with him. For there must be wooed there for a meeting with sticks of striped candy cane in the form of religious movies, games, or refreshments. It's very crucial when we get a chance to be together. Revelations 4, verse 11, it's on your notes, says, for your pleasure, O Lord, we exist and were created for your pleasure. Well, I want to just welcome our one worship team up. We're going to just consider this, the invitation to accept people into fellowship. We need the church. We need the church. I can't do this on my own. I can't be the church on my own. You are not the church by yourself. Did you all understand that? It's like a football player. You are not a football team by yourself. You're not. And you're not a church by yourself. You need the body of Christ. That's the church. And I've often said when that member becomes dislocated, it's kind of like taking off my pinky and setting it on the coffee table. There's the church. Now, eventually it rots, putrefies, and stinks. We need to be connected. And I'm inviting you now to consider if you've not participated or joined a church before, it's really a wonderful thing. We trust that you've accepted Christ. On your notes, you'll notice here what we're about to engage in is simply this, right here. I'm going to invite those that want to become members of Hope Chapel, that they're going to come forward and just stand right where I'm at. Just make a line. I'm hoping there's at least one. How's that? You say, well, with this, some people get nervous about that. You're coming up already. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Awesome. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone. Oh, that's beautiful. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm loving this. I am loving this. Oh. Icebreaker you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I would just say, too, we're going to take a picture of you in a moment and even actually have the mic pass and have your first and last name shared. This is actually going in our archives and our records, and that's going to be important in just a moment. But we also just want to say, too, because we often have people, well, if I join, that means it's indefinite. No, nobody owns anybody. But we just know this, it'll be strength to you and strength to us to have that spiritual covering come upon you. That is a very significant thing. That there's a dimension of God's grace that comes, say, this is my faith family. And we are overjoyed who are in our seats at what you are doing. We believe you want to be a part of what God's doing in us. And we welcome that. We welcome you. So it's wonderful and it's very encouraging for us. Is there anybody else that cares to come? Because I feel like I'm talking just in case. Well, I wanted to just ask this phrase that you may have had a chance to read, and if this is your desire to say, I will, then I'm going to lead our church in praying a blessing upon you. And we'd like our church council and staff, we're going to do a receiving line. That's how we're going to end the service today. So we all smell pretty good, and we hope that you'll at least let us handshake, a hug, but we're excited. Dear friends, thank you again. But we want to ask you this question now. As new members, will you serve the church by faithfulness in fellowship, perseverance in prayer, generosity in giving, diligence in missions, dedication in devotion, and readiness in responsibility, with the objective of always working in the best interest of your church and the Four Square movement, say, I will. Well, it's with a great deal of joy, then we're going to extend our hands to you and pray that blessing upon you. Father, we want to thank you for these dear ones. What a very significant thing, and they know full well that you've moved upon them to say, I want to apply my life to what God is doing in this place and in this city. Therefore, Lord, we acknowledge it's your doing. We receive each of them with just heart full of gratitude and love to see the miracle of God that each of them are and bring. So Lord, we bless them now. We bless them. They're coming into a new life, a new experience. And that, Lord, let that newness that's in Jesus and found here at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach Four Square Church, build what you are already doing and enhance who they are and what they are all about. May the goodness of the Lord prosper them. May we receive from their prosperity and allowing their giftings and the grace of God that marks their life to be shared so easily. May they in turn be wonderfully able to receive from us, and may we pour our love and our prosperity upon them as well. That, Lord, there'll be no lack. And if there is anything that would want to lie, cause a deception, maybe a word of discouragement, that those things be removed in Jesus' name. That they would now be able to say, I will speak blessings and receive blessings. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord. They come under the covering now. We now just allow them to experience all of your grace. Lord, you're the one that says, I will build my church. Build them, Lord. And you will protect them from the gates of Hades. They will not be harmed. They'll be ones that flourish and have good success. For your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Way to go, everybody. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm going to invite you, if you wouldn't mind standing, our church counselor who are here and staff, if you can make a receiving line right here. God's blessings upon you. Thanks for coming. Let's greet these new members.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.